Radio Africana,
your non-stop entertainment radio.
Rainy day here in Manchester, but I do hope the weather is fine. Wherever you are tuning in and locked on to Radio Africana, it's another opportunity for us to just present your radio delights. We call it Africa Weekly. It's a show put together by Chris Okunua and yours truly, Emmanuel Etem. It's a happy day, the 19th of July 2025. As it is with tradition on the broadcast, we would journey through current affairs, entertainment, culture and tourism, and of course wrap up the conversation talking sports, where a heavyweight clash is on the horizon, something going down here in England. I'll tell you about it, even as much as we will celebrate the feat achieved by Nigeria's Super Falcons. But just before we get at it into what we have in store for you this Saturday, how about a reminder on how important it is for the continent to always unite.
Africa, unite, cause we're moving right out of Babylon, and we're going to our father's land. Yeah, how good and how pleasant it would be before God and man, yeah, to see the unification of all Africans. Been said already. the children of the I am man. Africa, unite, 'cause the children wanna come home. Yeah, yeah. Africa, unite, 'cause we're moving right out of Babylon, and we're grooving to our fathers. How good and how pleasant it would be before God and man to see the unification of all Rastaman. Yeah. As it's been said already, let it be done. Children of the Rastaman. We are the children of the Higher Man. So, Africa, unite. Africa, unite, yeah. Unite for the benefit of your people. Unite for its later than anything.
Welcome back. Still listening to Africa Weekly on Radio Africana, broadcasting live from Manchester, Africa United, by Robert Nesta Marley. It's Saturday. Let's get the show on the road with some of the top current affairs stories. We will be starting off in the Democratic Republic of Congo, the DRC, where the government and the M23 rebel group have reached somewhat of an agreement. It's a declaration of principles to stop fighting and start peace talks. They're trying to engage in a dialogue. If this comes to the fore, by the way, the deal will be signed in Doha, in Qatar, one which calls for an immediate ceasefire, and it will just set the stage for formal negotiations. They do have certain tricky issues still left to be touched, but like what happens to imprisoned rebels and troop movements and whatnot. But both sides have shown a willingness to engage in this conversation and this dialogue. That's what it is, more of a dialogue than just a conversation. If this peace talks eventually does hold, which I'm hoping it does for the sake of people out there in the DRC, it would bring relief to millions who've been affected by the conflict, particularly in eastern Congo. It's a region that has been plagued by violence for years. So this is like happy talk now. But I still do have people who are cautious. Previous agreements have broken down. It's not the first time they would call for sort of a peaceful resolution. But again, this is the only path towards lasting peace, which is uncertain at the moment, but it's still a right move which offers hope for lasting peace in the region, just to ensure the safety of lives and less of properties. Well, if you could have both, then it's fine, but lives importantly out there in eastern Congo. So this is quite a telling report that the government and a M23 rebel group have agreed that they want to sit down somewhere in Doha and have a conversation and see how they can just meet up with this resolution. Well, there's no speaking of peace or safety in Nigeria at the moment, particularly in the northern western part. 9 people have been reported killed, many abducted following an attack in the northwestern part of the country. It took place just some hours back on Friday in some Zamfara state, and it's a zone that feels like the hub where, you know, most of these incidents take place. And there's guys who run the streets dirty, often referred to as bandits. They're beyond bandits. I just think they're okay. Not supposed to have an opinion as it is, but they are it's gonna call them cowards. You know, when you just waylay people who cannot defend themselves, and it's very heartbreaking. And Hamisiru Farao, who's a local lawmaker in Zamfara State, he was speaking to Reuters, who had to share his report first, and he said the attack took, and I quote, "No fewer than 100 people, including women and children, were." And every time there's a crisis or a war, most of the casualties are women and children. And it's a bit heartbreaking. It's not the first time. It doesn't feel like it would be the last time, notably in states such as Zamfara State, Katsina, Kaduna, and Niger. That's where these bandits, you know, maintain camps in a huge forest. They just, you know, decide whatever they feel like. It's like going to jog in the morning. It's like, yeah, this is the day we invade a certain village. That's just, you know, how they engage in conversations. And it goes beyond clashes between herders and farmers over land and resources into a border conflict fueled by arms trafficking. It's something not just the government, the state government, that is, would have to take a look at. It's also something the federal government would have to prioritize in terms of, you know, ensuring that citizens are safe, not only in areas where you've got structures built that benefit the country, but places where they, in a lack of word, you know, have nothing. So this is coming true from northwestern Nigeria. Again, just last month, vigilantes, with the aid of the Nigerian secret police, had to send to the great beyond. They killed 100 people when they raided the enclave of a gang kingpin in the state Shinkafi district. It's a bit heart-wrenching. Just on a Friday, you're waking up and you're trying to just go about your normal duties and you fall. But it's what it is. So 9 people killed, but then again, the numbers continue to increase as we get it. We'll continue to share right here on Africa Weekly on Radio Africana. Away from Nigeria, though, this isn't pleasant story. If you're somewhat associated, if you're in Rwanda listening to us, which is also what you can do wherever you are across the world, as long as internet service is enabled, you can listen to Radio Africana from Manchester to the world. The website, the app, is there for you too. So if you're in Rwanda listening to this and you have some sort of affinity towards Victoria Ingabire, who's Rwanda's opposition leader, this is not a sort of news you want to hear, because what we do have to share is that she would remain in detention after judges at the Kikuyu Primary Court in Kigali had denied her bail. The court cited the risk of flight and possible interference with an ongoing investigation as grounds for keeping her in pretrial custody. Ingabire is quite prominent out there in Uganda. She is a heavy, heavy critic of the president, Paul Kagame. And at the moment, she faces 6 charges, which includes forming or belonging to an illegal group that spread hate messages. One, they say, intends to provoke international opinion against the Rwandan government. Prosecutors also argue that the evidence is strong enough to justify her continued detention while investigations proceed. The charges connected to the 2021 arrest of several of her supporters who had participated in an online political training session. The authorities also alleged that during that session online, participants discussed a book titled How to Topple a Dictator When You're Alone, Small and Unarmed. I don't think it would be bad to be part of that group. No, I'm just saying, but it's not the sort of group you want to find yourself in. And the government, that's the people who've decided to charge her. The authorities are saying that particular group indicates intent to incite unrest, which, if you are in a group that is describing how to topple a dictator, first, you're accusing the president of Rwanda, Paul Kagame, of being a dictator, and then trying to find ways on how you can topple the government. So it's quite heavy on Victoria Ingabire, who, by the way, she has come out to deny all accusations and previously called the charges politically motivated, as expected. Well, the United Nations, final story on the current affairs segment, United Nations Refugee Agency have released some alarming data They say more than 11 million refugees risk losing access to humanitarian aid owing to a dramatic funding crisis. They put out this report just some hours back on Friday, to be specific. The UNHCR, as they acronymed, that's my term, via its Director of External Relations, Dominic Hyde, made it clear so far they've received only 23% of this year's goal of $10.6 billion, projecting an overall budget of only $3.5 billion by the end of the year to meet the needs of 122 million people. It's really hard for them at the moment. Countries who have slashed donations and contributions, most of the countries were not named in the report, but again, they made it somewhat clear that the crisis has been compounded by a major reduction in funding from, not surprising, the United States of America. The country, the US, provide 40%, more than $2 billion of the agency's total donation last year. It's hardly possible for us to talk current affairs, I and Chris, and not rope in a story that has the United States written over it. Not surprising, most of the decisions taken at the White House, where gentleman Trump currently occupies, often has that global effect, and Africa, our beloved continent, isn't left out. Just for the record, it's not the refugees alone who are in trouble globally. The UN Refugee Agency has been downsizing by a third, about 3,500 staff positions at its Geneva headquarters and in regional offices. They've just lost their job. So there's hunger in the land, and there's no job for people who work for them. Hard times, they say. We take a break now. When we return, it would be a time for us in Africa Weekly to just take our gaze and tourism, tell you the best place to visit, and also just highlight the major tribe there and what they do on the broadcast this Saturday. But here's something I'm sure you'll like to listen to. If you doubt yourself, I don't think you should, because Oxlade, Shodem Camp and Basket have a story for you.
Doctor. I can't kill myself. Oh, no, no. Oh, don't work for me. Oh, no, no. I go do the one I serve. Oh, no, no. I go do the one with the work for me. Oh, no, no. Work for me. You know, say, I never go cross street with them put as I just for light. Oh.
As you can see, me and them my own thing. You can see, I know they send nobody. Although maybe I did do my thing and they make my business a go. We never forward spoiling my ghetto. Shabale, I can't ruin my plans. Oh. But they don't know, see me, I'm starving and living. Oh. I never for one know what thing I do. Chapole, I give them a devil job. But I know they put my foot in them nose and
me. But I don't know why, yo. If I do this, they go say that, oh. If I say that, they go do this, oh. Anything I do to the body, so. Oh, now they enter my baby, so. If I do this, they go say that, oh. If I say this, they go do that, oh. Oh, now I'm scattered my blah, blah, so.
What's your angle? Made a couple jams, now they calling me the man, bro. Made it with my gang so they couldn't understand. Show in for the stars, there's no telling where you land though. All happened suddenly, old school the band flow. Now it's palm wine, that's the sound they demand, bro. Babes want they move and the boys on they booze. Cause the party done they groove like it's Sunday on they boo.
Here in Lagos, you know, problem no they finish. We all wanna pop, so I stay on the spinach. But life's a marathon, gotta pace yourself to win it. And faith in God is key to knocking doors off the hinges. Cause my health is my wealth, I can't kill myself. Play the cards I'm dealt, to sell my care like my 12. Flows like the ocean, you might find pearls. Oxy, tell them.
Cross-stroke with them put us a dust for light, oh.
Oh boy, what a composition that was. Basket Mouth, Oxlade and Show Them Camp, myself. I think it should be like your morning tonic. You listen to it and you just say, the best you can, you do, because 7 times your best might not be enough. But don't kick yourself and say, oh, I could have done better. No, that was your best. Embrace it, wear it like an armor. Welcome back, you're still listening to Africa Weekly on Radio Africana, broadcasting live from Manchester. It's a production of Chris Okudowa and Emmanuel Etim, who's having a conversation with you this Saturday alongside Jore, producer extraordinaire. He just took a bow. Let's get into the tourism and culture segment of the show. It's a part of the broadcast which gives us an opportunity to highlight a major tribe on the African continent. It's a big continent, 3,000 tribes, 2,000 languages and dialects. We love to talk about them. And today we will touch down Togo. That's where we are, a captivating tourist destination which offers a rich blend of cultural heritage, diverse landscape and authentic, very authentic, yes, it is authentic, West African charm. The charm could be the literal word, it could also be the spiritual word. From the vibrant markets and coastal beaches of Lomé, which is the capital, to the traditional Ewe villages, sacred forest and mystical voodoo shrines. I'm not here to terrify you, okay? So you could get your Bible while listening to this if you feel afraid. But again, if you like adventure, you can explore the scenic beauty of Mount Agu, or just behold the beauty of the cascading waterfalls in Palime. There's also a bit of wildlife. You cannot compare the wildlife in Togo to what you have in Kenya or South Africa, but we do have wildlife in Togo, okay? They do have live animals, yeah. And you could find some at the Fazaolo Malfakasa National Park. It just depends on the weight of these animals. You see, some could sound like me, hungry, others could be very, but you'll find wildlife there, that's what I'm saying. So if you're looking for a travel destination in Africa, today we're shining a spotlight on Togo. And in Togo, this is where we talk about now a major tribe there. This one, they call the Ewe. It's the most populous and culturally, that's the word, yeah? Influential ethnic group, especially dominant in the southern part of the country where you've got the capital, Lomé. So that's where you find the Ewe people. And they are known for their deep respect for ancestry and community life. Chieftaincy systems are still very strong, and traditional leaders, even as we speak, hold cultural authority. At a point, they also do have initiation ceremonies, festivals, and libation rituals are essential elements of Ewe identity. They've got a strong belief in the spiritual world, ancestral spirits, and traditional deities. They also just somehow they coexist with modern religion. In terms of the food out there, there's something they call akume. That's maize flour paste. It's similar to banku, if you're from Ghana, or banku Ghana. Yeah, banku and kenke. I know kenke is Ghana. Fufu. don't eat that before you go to work, okay? Yeah, just take it when you're, I wouldn't say depressed, okay, because it just drowns you, but just take it still. Cassava yam pounded paste, that's what they call it in English. There's ablo, which is steamed corn and dough cakes, and palime rice and donuts, or if you may, bofrot, also popular. That's where you find somewhat of the staple food there. But common dishes, ademe soup. They also do have a grasshopper stew, agouti. There's opportunities for some of the families to also have okra sauce with palm oil and fish. Grilled tilapia or goat's meat. And when it comes to just being, how do you to drown yourself? Palm wine is there also, and local brews like Asodabi. It's distilled palm spirit, very common there. So they've got healthy food for you to feast on if you decide to visit Togo and see the Ewe people. The women are known for their strong entrepreneurial spirits, especially when they trade and their market life. Traditionally, the women of Ewe play central roles in family structure. They are very good in terms of managing the homes. They also support financially. They're not lazy. And yes, they cook great. They are deeply involved in cultural ceremonies, dance, and community festivals. They are also known for elegant traditional attire. When you see them, you see beauty, especially wrapper. When they just wrap themselves up going for events and their headscarves, which you could also call gilly. It's beautiful to say the least. In terms of the religion out there, the Ewe people and Togo by extension, they do have Christianity. It exists, yeah. Catholicism and evangelical churches are strong, but they also do have a blend of traditional African religions. Voodoo, or if you may, voodoo, originated here. So if you've been thinking, where exactly is that a country that gave birth to voodoo? Well, there you go. In Africa Weekly this Saturday, you have the answer. Togo. Also, Islam exists, but to a lesser extent. The Ewe practice voodoo involves belief in a supreme god, Mau. They also do have certain intermediary spirits. I'm hoping I'm not invoking some on a live broadcast, but I'd rather not mention their name, but they do have them. Sacred forests, shrines, and rituals also exist. Religious festivals and colorful and spiritual, often involving drumming, dance, and all the whatnots. In terms of the music, it's very central to the Ewe identity. Drumming, particularly, highly sophisticated. They're known for having great drummers. They also have the atompan drums, the gankugi, it's a bell. They also something they call the akstashe, like a rattle. I can't do it because I don't have it here, but they are musically inclined, yeah, with people. In terms of the dances, traditional dances, they have what they call the agbadza. It's a war dance turned celebratory. Also kinka, this isn't good though. You see them dance at funerals. Advu, also it's if you see anyone doing the Advu dance, flee from them because it's spirit possession dance. That's what it's called. But they also enjoy high life. They enjoy Afrobeat and not living out loads of Makossa, as much as it's out there in the DRC and the likes. But Togolese, by virtue of the language, which is what I will touch on next. We know French is the official language of Togo, but Ewe dominates local conversation, trade, and storytelling in the south. So they enjoy Makossa. In terms of other languages spoken across southern Togo and part of Ghana, Benin, and Nigeria, Ewe language is one of such. It's part of the Gbe cluster within the Niger-Congo language family. So if you are looking for a travel destination in Africa, today on Africa Weekly, we say go to Togo, okay, and see how they delight visitors and to be part of the Ewe community. We'll pause for a bit and get something from Extra Musica. It's also a tune they enjoy out there in Togo. Listen to it quite a lot. When we return, it'll be time for us to talk entertainment on the broadcast. Hey! Get for that music, just redefining music, Makosi Osuku's wise. Welcome back. You are still listening to Africa Weekly on Radio Africana, the UK number one Afro station. We're broadcasting live from Manchester, just coming across to the side, which would be the very first entertainment story I would share. Well, Togo and Ghana, not quite far the distance. So I think I'll just take you through this one. Has to do with this artist called Stoneboy. He's a dancehall musician from Ghana. Akwaaba Stoneboy, he said he deserves an unqualified apology from Ghanaians for his described as an unwarranted criticism following his appearance on a platform. The platform, of course, hosted by Ghanaian UK-based disc jockey as a DJ. DJ AG. He was speaking in an interview, of course, to a radio station out there in Ghana, and he expressed disappointment over how some Ghanaians just were very harsh and sending messages, bombarding negative comments, spewing bows. Just, you know, what as an artist you'd see and read, and you just feel very sad. They were all talking about him becoming the first Ghanaian artist to feature on the platform, and he went on to say that this backlash negatively affected his brand and he wasn't satisfied by it. And surprisingly, while they were having that conversation, someone in the Nigerian music industry also commented, saying Ghanaians should be proud of Stoneboy. And for him, he said, well, he became shy because it wasn't his own people, Ghanaians, who were supported him, was a Nigerian, but strangely it was the Ghanaians who were criticizing him. And then again, he just tried to be funny, saying everyone who is criticizing him, they should send him money. He might not be joking though, so if you've got Stoneboy's account, help your brother, say. His remarks come in the wake of Nigerian Afro Fusion star Burnaboy's recent appearance on the same platform, an event that drew wild praise and seemed to contrast sharply with the earlier criticism Stoneboy received. And but again, you cannot compare Stone to Burna, but Stoneboy's got his own pride, to put it that way. So, well, from Ghana's Stoneboy to Nigeria's music sensation Aya Star, she has been announced as the headliner, the 2025 Giant of Africa Festival. It's an event that will be taking place in Kigali, Rwanda. The tournament, I'm used to tournaments, it's just a football, I wouldn't say junkie, but yeah, I could be obsessed with that sport. But it's a festival organized by former NBA executive Masai Ujiri. And the essence, Masai said, the essence for this event is to empower African youths through sport and culture, which is a good thing. Her performance will be the highlight of the event because she would be the face of the event. But again, it also has exciting Afrobeat stars as Kiss Daniel. There's also Demama Kruna Timaya, as well as local Rwandan artist Aline Sano would spearhead that attack for them. The festival will run from the 27th of this month, July, to the 2nd of August, 2025. There'll be loads of performances and events scheduled throughout the entire week. So well done to Masai Ujiri. From NBA exec, doing great things out there in Uganda, and great to see Nigerian artists, well, as they continue to dominate not just the charts but also festivals. So it'll be good to see Aya Star perform and have a great time. Well, speaking of Aya Star, she's got this connection with Don Jazzy. It takes me to my final entertainment story in Africa Weekly today. This one involves former Big Brother Niger housemate. Her name is Uriel Oputa. She's offered Don Jazzy somewhat a piece of an advice over his admission that he struggles to be sexually committed to one woman in a relationship. He didn't say he was a player. No, he just said it's hard. And I'm taking a quote verbatim from Don Jazzy. He said, "I admire people who can love one person completely, like Emmanuel Atem, and stay committed. But me, even when I'm in a relationship, that doesn't stop me from admiring someone else," he said. "I made this a declaration, a revelation during his appearance on the Nancy Sime show, just admitting to struggle with the idea of committing to just one woman, and explain further. Now, while he respects those who can maintain one-on-one romantic relationship, he doesn't believe he is strong enough to do the same. And Uriel, the former BBN housemate, and also a media personality she is, has come out to say, well, Dunjazzy, don't you think it's simply because of the sort of women you've been with that's the problem? So it's the women he's been dating that could be the problem. She believes a shift in his choice of women could potentially just change his outlook on commitment. And she said, I love Dunjazzy. I love him like no other. Okay, if I see him, I will tell him to try a different type of woman. I don't know. This is don't take the words out of my mouth. I'm just saying, if she's concerned about the kind of woman he's going or he's been with, I see subtly saying she just might be the kind of woman that would make Dunjazzy a one woman man. Uriel, just come out and, you know, that's they say. Just speak to him directly. I don't go through the corners. Just tell him. I say, Dunjazzy, I am that woman that will turn you. Well, he's straight, I believe. And that woman that would just make you a one-woman man. So that's it. So I found the story. I thought it was interesting because there's always been suspicious remarks about Dumba Badje. But hey, I love him so much. And it takes me to the next break. I'm sure he produced this jam. Okay, if he didn't, then Jazzy, well, you can take the glory. It's something from One Day Cole and R2B. It's one of the great. I don't know how to position this jam. R&B, Afro beats. Well, it's everything joined together. When we return from this great composition from One Day Cole and R2B's, they call Kiss Your Hand, it'll be time for us to just take you to the final segment of the show, Sports on Africa Weekly.
Ratata.
It's One Day Cole. Whoa,
R2B.
Baby, make you know they talk chow. Hope say that you go drop me your number. Cause I know they feel they show they pop by the wonder. Hey, now your back a boom boom, you the conquer. Look, see, I know they get no younger. So I they want friendship where be longer. Weak me today, tomorrow I go be stronger. Girl, I they want chop, you be my hunger. I see if I'm playing with you, but the words I'm saying is true. Woman, I know they tell no lie. Boy, I know they play, my love is for you. I be you go be my girl. Way I go surely take you there. How you they rock my world? That they make, I they ask you say. Yes, you know. Surely take you there. How you they rock my world? Now they make us ask you.
Just allow me to kiss your hand. Be your man, you know I understand. Yeah, yeah. Allow me to kiss your hand. Be your man, you know I understand.
All I wanna hear you say I do. Make you know that every day by you. Girl, to the end of time is true. I'll be you.
To be like CV Wonder, you know I'm like thunder to thunder. This nigga is the bumper to bumper. Hey, you see where I'm from? WC, I'm from Nigeria. I'm on your in a criteria. Where the answer like bacteria. Try where I did for Ghana. Where exactly my karma? Where are we going? I'm rocking with R2B from Ghana. I try we did from Tama. They say WC a hammer. When they say we are W, you see your money send a bumper to bumper. Yes, I be the number one, number dagger. I got see, got swagger. And I the reggae, the raga. When I reggae, the raga. People, the swagger, the maga. Chai, nah who, bunny maga. Nah who, bunny maga. Money talo lama. Before they start to call me. Hey, money talo lama. Before they start to call me. Bama. In me your shama. Oh, lama. So the ginger me talk. Chai. Like Femi, would you tell me? Why get me?
So baby, just allow me to kiss your hand. Be your man, you know I understand. Yeah, yeah. Allow me to kiss your hand. Be your man, you know I understand.
Yo, I said beauty lies in the eyes of the beholder. Like your life is in the hands of Jehovah. Make we marry, you know we getting older. I go bodyguard you, I go be a soldier. And I heard you like Casanova, rated guys who sober. So I'm like, hold up, enjoy the roller coaster. Smooth sailing, no imposter, then move.
dance to the groove hard, make you know they lose guard. One day go talk, or about to bad, or about to bad. It is sa, sa, boo moo dia sa, ahun on fed and ahun le boo pa, yen a peja won sa, o kasa fu o kasa, ba wun di obi aka, R2 B's and W's easy, you know we know easy, pop pop something, like it be your bidi, girl no long tin, I like your feezy, your body be fronting, what a tasa we see.
Just allow me to kiss your hand, be your man.
All right, I think, you know, one day Cole heard me saying, was it Don who did it or someone else? And he said, nah, who do the beats? It was Q-Beat. So shout out to you, Q-Beat, and the plethora of jams Don Jazzy has successfully produced. Welcome back. Still listening to Radio Africana. The broadcast is called Africa Weekly every Saturday from 4 to 5 p.m. We bring this Chris Okunua alongside yours truly, Emmanuel Atem. It's the final stretch of the broadcast, the toy department of life, as I call it. Let's talk sports quickly, though. This has to do with the Professional Fighters League. It's set to make its debut on the continent today. It will take place at the Grand West Arena in Cape Town, South Africa. It features first-round tournament matchups, heavyweight and bantamweight divisions. It will be headlined by Johnny Eblen against Costello. That's right. Starts today. For those who love the Professional Fighters League, it's an inaugural event in Africa which signifies the growing popularity and recognition of mixed martial arts. So if you like blood, you can watch. Well, this evening, I think this is the real one. It's the major sporting conversation. It's going down here in England, Wembley. That's the venue. It would be part two, the boxing bout between Ukrainian, the undefeated Ukrainian and unified heavyweight champion. His name is Oleksandr Usyk. He'll be up against Daniel Dubois, the man who humbled Anthony Joshua. So he's just 25, by the way, Dubois. If you've got a chance to be at Wembley, you can take the next train from Oxford, whatever, Victoria, wherever train station, just get to Wembley. If you've got your tickets, they'll go see the bouts. It begins 5:30, the regular fights, but the main event, ring walk, starts at about 9:45 p.m. So we'll get the chance to see either Dubois get that pathway towards becoming great, or the Ukrainian himself, Oleksandr Usyk, just retains all the glory that he's amassed over the years. I stuck WAFCON, that's the Women's Africa Cup of Nations, where the Nigerian team, known as the Super Falcons, through to the semi-finals of the competition. They produce a commanding display. They perforated, punctured, ate, just humbled, destroyed, whatever term, just a nutshell, just embarrassed the Zambian team 5-0. They thumped them. Fixture went down in Casablanca. They're called the Zambians the Copper Queens. They had been expected to pose somewhat of a challenge for the record 9-time champions, but were blown to smithereens by a stunning performance as early as the first 120 seconds of that game. Osinachi Ohale, the Nigerian defender, rose the highest to score. And then we saw Esther Okoronkwo, Chiwendu Ihezuo, Oluwatosi Demi, and Folashade Ijamilusi. Look at the names there. They sound like warriors. And they wrapped up five different goal scorers at the Larabi Zawli Stadium in Casablanca. Not too good for Zambia. I like them. They've got the current African Player of the Year, Barbara Banda. One of the finest front players in Rachel Kudananji, but 2 out of 11, that's porous, okay? You need 11-11 to beat the Falcons with the Kuduns. But they had succeeded against the Falcons just some years back. The last tournament, they beat Nigeria to finish third, but first time they got pummeled 5-0. Not just that, they failed to register a shot on target all through the 90 minutes. That for both strikers, Barbara Banda and Rachel Kudinanji. Nigeria not only are through to the semi-finals, they are yet to concede a goal at the tournament. So that's a good one for the goalkeeper, Chiamaka Nnadozie. They would come up either against South Africa, the defending champions, or Senegal in the semi-finals that will be held on Tuesday next week. So this is me speaking as a Nigerian, not a broadcaster now, wishing them all the best against either South Africa or against Senegal. But hey, if you're Senegalese listening, I wish you all the best in your game against South Africa. Likewise, if you're South African listening to Africa Weekly on Radio Africana. In the second quarterfinal, the host nation, Morocco, secured a comfortable 3-1 victory over Mali. That game was played in Rabat, the capital. Striker Ibissam Jadri, she scored 2 goals. In football terms, they call it a brace. And Kenza Chappell scored the 3rd goal just the minutes of normal time remaining after the Malian goalkeeper Fatoumata Karentao failed to handle a shot from long range. The result means the host nation, Morocco, as they call them, the Atlas Lionesses, are true to the semi-finals, the second consecutive WAFCON semi-final for Morocco. They would play either Algeria or Ghana, and that fixture will still be played in Rabat, where they've got quantum support. So again, congratulations to Morocco, congratulations to Nigeria for advancing. Just to scan across some transfers before I take my Gwongora out of the studio, this has to do with the former or current African player of the year, Demola Lookman, because you've got a taste that it would be the PSG player Achraf Hakimi, whom I just take it over, take over from him, or miraculously he could retain it. But Ademola Lookman is a transfer target for Internacional, a report of around 40 million euros for the Nigerian winger, but Atlanta want about 50 million euros. Before we return on the broadcast next week, he could have been signed to Atlanta. This one involves Jedi Gassama. He's wanted by Rangers. Manager Russell Martin keen on bolstering his attacking options. Gassama has been included in the Champions League squad despite ongoing transfer rumors. A 22-year-old Nigerian midfielder is at Getafe. His name is Cristantus Uche. He's also attracting Premier League interest and the valuation of about 25 million euros. This one has to do with Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. The Gabonese is reportedly in talks to return to Olympique Marseille, where he previously played some seasons back, 23-24. We hear negotiations are ongoing. As they say, charity begins at home, but I'll wrap up at home. Home being Manchester. For Man United fans, this one concerns you. Marcus Rashford could be on his way to Barcelona. That's what the BBC are reporting at the moment, that they have engaged United in a conversation, and it's been suggested that it was time for a new challenge in December then. But then again, he was dropped by Ruben Amorim, had to go on loan to Villa. He's back at the team, but as they say, no light for him at the United tunnel. So he could be on his way to joining Barcelona, which would be a big positive for United as they look to strengthen the squad. So come with some funds, with more than £130 million committed to signing. United have acquired Matheus Cunha and also Brian Mbeumo. They are looking to sell certain players and get even more to just ensure that they don't get relegated next season. I'm not going to say win the Premier League, because that seems far-fetched. So that's the reports via the BBC that Marcus Rashford could be on his way to Barcelona. That's the player who hasn't played for United since they lost or the victory actually against Victoria Plzen on the 12th of December. Well, not more. I'm saying something on Nicolas Pepe, the Villarreal deal. It's under review, but that's the size of the broadcast this Saturday. I hope I've done justice to the presentation. Shout out to Chris Okunua for the package and, you know, making the presentation as easy, despite not being present in the studio. But he's always a part of the broadcast. And also shout out to the producer Jory for ensuring all the tunes come out fine. Emmanuel Latim saying you have a fine evening. Adios. You say.
to be. It's burning in my heart, making me go mad. It doesn't matter how it turns out to be. You're the reason why I sing this song. My heart's on fire. It's the reason why I sing this song. You take me higher. You're the reason why I sing this song.
To make me look up, lose my sense and focus. She done me better than most. She done me bad, you know. jump in the line. We all need some peace of mind. That's me, I'm outside. Pour me up a drink, I'm getting loose tonight. Kill all of my worries, wish and pain. And I don't wanna play the losing game. So I'm healing from your stress.
I'm healing from your stress. 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 Healing from your stress.
Okay.